in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Obviously not the first Jeroboam. This is Jeroboam 2, which is rather important. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms." And this is, of course, the great debatable verse, which can become great trivia for you to spend the next 6 months on that doesn't help you a bit. "For the land hath," and he tells you why, "for the land hath committed great," you know, whatever term you use, "the land has been spiritually adulterous towards the Lord." Is that a problem we have? "How so, departing from the Lord?" So Hosea went and took Gomer. By the way, if you ever marry a woman named Gomer, you know you got a problem right up front. Yes. Frenchie's not here, so you're filling in for Frenchie. Thank you. "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu." And, you know, you can't even understand this unless you know the Old Testament history. "And will cause to cease the kingdoms of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah." So he throws out a little bit of hope, because at this time we're a divided kingdom, yes? North and south. And he throws out a little bit of hope for a while for Judah. "And will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen." Now, when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, or as they say in central Illinois, how do they say it, Jenny? Lo-Ami? Lo-Ami. Lo-Ami or something. If you ever go to Springfield, south of Springfield, you're going to see this city. It shows biblical illiteracy. It might show the most biblical. The only thing that would be worse is naming your town Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, or... Corinthians Baptist, yeah, we got one of those too, come to think of it. So, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. So you have this, it's a strange mixture of horrible, and yet something in the future, and it's all mixed in here. It goes on to say, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, that it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this beautiful day, spring. Thank you for it. May you bless our time in Jesus' name. So how do we start this kind of a discussion? This week and next week, and then following that, I'm going to spend several weeks on Romans 11. We're going to discuss the issue of what about the Jews? This is not an important question, correct? Why would it, Ron, you shake your head yes. Why is it an important question? I would agree 100%. Thank you, Ron. And by the way, it's caused a lot of countries problems. You know, England kicked the Jews out of England? Well, I'm trying to think. I cannot remember the date. It was after a year 1000, but I can't remember the king that did it. And they were not allowed back in England until Oliver Cromwell, 1630s or 40s. 1492, the Jews were kicked out of Spain. By the way, Spain had been a Jewish place forever. They were kicked out of Spain in 1492. You know, Christopher Columbus came here. They kicked the Jews out, and then the last kingdom of the Moors, Granada, fell. So you have a long history. So what we're really going to ask is this. What about Jewish people? And this question is not just going to be answered from this text, this week and next. I'm going to give you some big picture ideas in the next 2 weeks, and then we're going to look at Romans 11 much more in-depthly. And I think more important than this question, for all of you that have ears to hear, there's a more important question. What about Israel? And you say, why is that more important? There are Christians that will allow for the Jewish people to be saved today, and maybe down the road, some kind of a revival of Jewish people, and many, look at me in the eyes, everybody, many Jewish people getting saved and becoming part of the church at the end times. But they say, Israel, what's the distinction between Jews and Israel? Israel's a what? The country, it's a land. When we get to Romans 11, it doesn't talk about Jewish people, it talks about Israel. Jewish people in the land. So this makes, by the way, the difference of how a Barack Obama treated Israel and how they're being treated now. By the way, we have a maniac in some ways in the White House, but the Jewish people know one thing, things have really changed in a few weeks. And it's all over the news if you're reading news sources. They know, oh my goodness, we have somebody that's in our corner for the first time in 8 years. By the way, I want to say this to all of you, be very careful about people who talk about Jews but who don't talk about Israel. Because the Jewish people were always connected to a land, and when the Lord makes promises, he makes them to the Jewish people, but they're Jewish people in Israel, meaning connected to the land. Now, for all of you, and there's several of you that are very new Christians, and most of you don't know this, so it won't hurt. Let's do a little bit of chronology. In the 1440s, Moses and Joshua led the people of God, B.C., by the way. I'm assuming everybody knows that. Somewhere in this area, they led the people of God out of Egypt, and Joshua eventually led them into the Promised Land. We know that. Things percolate along for a long time under these guys called the Judges. Is that spell right? Yes. Approximately 340 years. And then you have the first king, which is named Saul. And for a very short time, you have what we call a united kingdom. So it's a very short period of time. And the united kingdom lasts exactly three reigns. Now, you say, why are you saying this? You're just not even going to understand the Bible. It's just going to be religion to you. And you're going to be one of those people that sat in church your entire life, and you read a chapter a day thinking you've done God a favor, don't understand anything. You got to get some ideas. So here it is. They come out of Egypt, 1440s, more or less. 340 years, the tribes are kind of scattered around, not very cohesive, fighting each other. It's that period of time when the Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man. So we're looking forward to a king. If you've been here on Sunday nights, we get the blessing of this guy. Gradually, David comes to the scene. David is considered the great king. He points to Christ, the ultimate king. Is David a good guy? Yeah, but he tells you one other thing. David tells you that he's not really David. There's another David coming, because there's plenty of sin in David's life. And then the last guy is named, and in many ways, Solomon, the empire, the kingdom rises to its height under Solomon. And then Solomon dies. 931 B.C. or so. Don't get fixated on dates. You don't know anything about chronology. And the guy you're looking at doesn't know anything about chronology. And to get into chronology in the ancient world takes more skill sets and weirdness than any of us have. So more or less, what happens then? By the way, I can remember as a 19-year-old boy reading the Bible, and for the first time it was like, there's a Judah, and there's an Israel, and they're not the same? I was in church my whole life and didn't know that. After this, the kingdom splits. You have Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And if you read the Bible, it's going to give you a wrong impression, so I'm going to correct your impression. The Bible is going to give you a wrong impression. Because the Bible is focused on which of those two? Judah, of course, because that's where the godly kings come from. You'll get the impression those were the... Judah was the little kingdom. Israel was the big kingdom. You will misconstrue things if you're not careful. Israel was always stronger, but Israel had 20 kings, and guess how many of them were godly? Two of them were not as ungodly as the other ones. Sounds like America. Well, he's not good, but he's not as bad as he could be. So you have 20 kings in the north, or so. There's a little bit of debate here and there, but 20 kings, they're all evil. Two of them, the last one and one other, the Bible says something to the effect, well, he wasn't as evil as all the other ones. The south, believe it or not, also has 20 kings. The north is carried into captivity by the Assyrians in 722 BC, when Assyria was the great nation. Why is this important? Because everything we're going to read is going to talk about that in this text. This text deals with Israel. Hosea is a prophet to the north. And when he's a prophet to the north, he's going to talk about what's going to happen, and Israel is going to be destroyed. By the way, these are the people that were scattered all over. And Judah has 20 kings, but they last quite a bit longer, to 586 BC. And then they're carried into captivity by the Babylonians. Do you realize that's pretty much most of the history that you need to know to start reading the Old Testament? And every single thing you think has to come out of that basis. If you don't know where you're, you know, you can't just open the Bible and be a Billy Baptist from Kentucky and saying, I understand the Bible. You'll get yourself in a mess. You got to have some history. It's just that simple. Now, we could talk about more details. So where are we talking about now? We're very close to the end of Israel's existence, okay? But stop. But nobody in Israel thought that, because they had the king that took them to the greatest amount of money and power. Jeroboam was the guy that brought the economy back to America. Jobs back to the middle class. I'm serious. He's the guy. Let's read the verses. Any questions on this? This makes sense to you? So when you start reading the Bible, folks, at least kind of understand how it is. It helps a little bit. Israel. Israel was at its high point at this time. Jeroboam the second, not the first. Jeroboam the first was the guy that was right here, and Rehoboam was the southern king, and they split right at the beginning. But later on, way towards the end, another Jeroboam with a different mother, obviously, and father. Israel was at its high point, or its zenith, under Jeroboam. Militarily, economically, socially, and culturally. Not so much spiritually. But within a very short time, well, I actually have that in your notes. Look under the verses, I say that. Jeroboam II brought the northern kingdom to its highest point, its zenith. Militarily, socially, economically, culturally. Everything was good, except, as I say, however, not all was good or well. Within a short time, Israel would be no more. Israel would be conquered by the Assyrian nation in 722 BC and then carried into captivity. Judah would soon follow suit. Neither would be totally independent again until... Did you read that? Do you realize that's 3,000 years? It is 3,000 years. Folks, in 586, when Babylon conquered Judah, there's never been a Davidic king. And up until 1948, they were under other people's domination. For a little bit of time, B.C., there was a little bit of freedom, but it was just short. This isn't small potatoes. This is major. Now, our forefathers, people that would be older than Mr. Losey, it would have been his parents' generation. Those Bible believers, H.A. Ironside, those men believed the Lord was going to restore Israel first to the land in unbelief, and then in the future, spiritually. I agree with that. They are in the land, and they've been there since 1948. No other country in history has ever been restored to their native land, especially after that length of time, 2,600 years, not 3,000. All right, look at the verses above it. We have some other books in the Old Testament that occur during this same period of time. Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri, the son of Uzziah, of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Now Habakkuk didn't speak to the north, he spoke to the south. Israel primarily spoke to the south also. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw considering Judah and Jerusalem. He mainly preaches to the south, but it's in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So it's during this same period of time. Micah is in the same period of time also. Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, which he saw. But now Micah preaches to the north and the south, both Samaria, the capital of the north, and Jerusalem, the capital of the south. All right, I'm going to give you three words. For the next 2 weeks, all we're going to talk about is three words. We'll talk about the first two today. Story, history, and next week we will finish up with prophecy. In the first three chapters of Hosea, we are going to focus on God tells us the same thing, look at me, in three different ways. He gives us history, what's happening historically. He also gives us a story. The story of Hosea and his wonderful wife, Gomer. Now, evidently, Rhonda's watched too much Gomer Pyle because she's got it all down. It's been too long. I don't remember Gomer Pyle quite as well. Frenchie, I'm sure, has them all on video or something. But they were funny back in those days. I mean, some of that stuff was pretty innocent compared to today, pretty innocent stuff. Pretty innocent. All right, so Hosea, as I say in your notes, helps us with this in chapters 1 and 2, meaning the story and the history. And as I say under that, I say this. The single most telling portion of Hosea is in his personal story, a story that is also an analogy. And you know, Frenchie got into the notes, it's the portion that is, not in, is. I know that's important to all of you that like perfect notes. So let's begin with his story. I want to ask everybody a question. How many people like someone to tell you who to marry? If I just walked up to you and said, you're single, you need to marry, are you good with that? Most of us think we're much smarter than everybody else. Let's be real. Everybody thinks they're smarter than everybody else. That's just the nature of the beast, especially when it comes to marriage. Now, by the way, I don't tell anybody who to marry. Are you kidding me? Marriage has enough problems as it is. You don't need me thinking I'm a prophet. Oh, no. Cliffy, who asked whom to marry? You or Judah? Who do you think at? Now, let's tell. Have you ever heard his story? All right, Cliffy, talk about this motorcycle stuff. Where did you meet Judah at for the first time?
She was looking for a husband.
She shows up in your city. Did she know you were there? You never heard of this guy. By the way, if you'd have prayed, you'd have never gone to Dumaguete. But anyhow, go ahead. Were you already in the Navy at the time? Oh, that's sweet. Let's get to the motorcycle now, because Cliffy really, by the way, he really planned this well. Go ahead, brother. Yeah, okay. Oh, you got her into safety. She won't touch you.
So when she was running back, what I did, I grabbed that motorcycle.
So you're saying she didn't have a choice but to grab a hold of you. By the way, if you don't know that Cliffy's smart, he's pretty smart. And that, then when was it love for you? When you grabbed a hold of all those. Started high. That is so sweet. I love that story. That is a classic story. By the way, how does Hosea get married? In some way, Hosea is a prophet, and God tells him who to marry. Now, I don't think anybody wants to be told who to marry, though we don't do real well on our own. Hello? We don't necessarily do well. But look, he tells him to marry Gomer. Well, either that she is or what kind she's going to be, either one doesn't look good. Yes. Sharon, you have a testimony about Walt, how he did. Was it a motorcycle, Walt? Yeah, but to be honest with you, I hear what you're saying, but even if God picked the perfect person for you, like undoubtedly Pachungai has the perfect husband. But I'm not being goofy here. Oh, you had a list of 14 check marks and he was all 14. Yeah, see, my wife had one of those of 20 and I got up to 2, so... We better move on. We're never getting done here. Well, look in your notes. We'll start with part of this story. And this is just, let's make it neutral at first. Hosea was to marry Gomer. That's the hard part. Oh, my goodness. Now, Rhonda, because Rhonda is gentle and kind, she kind of interpreted it the way some people interpreted that this, you know, some people say, well, we know what's in the text, but maybe when Gomer got married, he didn't know what was going to happen. That was kind of later when he wrote it down. I don't know. But I think more importantly than that is look at Isaiah 8. Isaiah says this, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for what? In Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." You see, whatever this marriage was, folks, look at me. This marriage was a whole bunch more than just a marriage. So I don't recommend, you know, and by the way, this isn't funny. Don't even think about one of the young men in this church going to a strip club to find a girl. Why? By the way, why? First statement, why? But you can get people religious. Anybody working in a strip club is an exceptionally damaged person. Probably just about damaged beyond repair. Don't kid yourself. Don't watch movies. Yeah, they would be unsafe, but it would be just... So don't think that... Anytime I read this thing, I go back to the Bible. How does the Bible tell you how to find a husband or a wife? And some people, we have them right across the border north of Milwaukee that say... We call it courtship. The parents choose. That is nonsense. There is no biblical means of how to get married. I can take you to Judges chapter 21, where after the Benjamites don't have any women, they go in and kill everybody in the city, and all the women that are, you know, virgins and the young women, they just take them and give them in marriage, and they still don't have enough. So then they decide to have my favorite, they have the dance. And the guys are hiding in the bushes, and they look in there and look at one they like, and they just reach in and grab one. By the way, you can find anything in the Bible. This, look at me, this command is to how many people? All right. And I think like Isaiah, it's for us. Look at me, folks. When I say history and story, the story is to represent what's going to happen throughout history. I mean, it has a purpose. This was to be, in your notes, just as God married Israel. Now, Israel, in this case, could be both Israel and Judah, meaning God married the Jewish people, the nation. The age-old question, was Gomer already a prostitute, or did she become one? And here is my question. Are you reading my question? Was Israel unfaithful to God at the beginning? And the answer would be? From what I can tell, Israel was unfaithful to God before, at, during, after, pretty much like all of us are. You know, if you're one of these people that feel good about yourself, maybe you don't know yourself well. I don't find Israel to be some wonderful group. Actually, I just read Deuteronomy 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, portions of it last night. And God over and over says, you know, I didn't choose you because you're so righteous and faithful. Then he even lists examples of their rebellion. I mean, so don't get into yourself. You say, what's the answer? I don't know. Rhonda, very nice person that she is, says she became a prostitute, right? It doesn't say that. But this is probably obviously written after the fact, so we don't know exactly the chronology. And I don't think that's an important question, because it's mainly a story saying, here, if I can say this, and please don't be offended, it's the love story of Judah and Cliffy. Cliffy's thinking, how can I get her to like me? She can feel my six-pack. So, and then, oh, she has to grab him. And he starts, that's sweet. How do you know what's going to happen in marriage? I've seen some marriages that I still just like. So you never know what's going to happen. And if you want to know what should happen, Dada has a Bible study on Friday night. Go to it. Next, Hosea and Gomer had a child. Now, in your notes, this is the hard part, according to the text. Their only child. Their meaning Hosea and Gomer's only child. Now, you say this never happens. Folks, look at me. My dad's family had this in the family. So don't look stupid. My dad did not claim one of his half-sisters, and I didn't know about her till I was nearly 40. An aunt. Because that was from the perfect mother having a daughter from another husband. And in my dad's family, the dad was the devil and the mother was the angel. And actually, both of those were lies. I think both of them were worthless. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know, this is the way things go. So Hosea and Gomer had a child, their only child. Verse 3. So he went, took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare, and it says in the text, him a son. So we're pretty sure this child is Homer's. They're not sure if they're transgender or something else here. Hosea and Gomer. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. And by the way, you'd have to read the previous text in 2 Kings. Otherwise, you won't understand what was going on. But, you know, how was the northern group? Folks, there were people that were kings just a matter of days. There were people that were murdered. Actually, my son, reading secular ancient history, said, Dad, that's just like, yeah, and it's like everybody else. Chopping heads off, murdering people, murdering your own kids, that's just what people do. In the north, that's what they did always. You have some of that in the south. When do you have it in the south? When the southern king marries one of those northern women. And then all of a sudden they bring that paganism right down in the south and they're killing everybody. And out of the ashes, the priest's daughter rescues one. You know the story. All right. So, it says, not only will he avenge the blood, he will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So God is using this as a prophecy. And it shall come to pass that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And I tell you, no one believed this. So in your notes, Jezreel. Jezreel means something like this, to be sown or to be scattered by God. So he's actually naming his son something. By the way, this is where the story and the history starts intermixing, and it even intermixes with prophecy. You name somebody something that we do this sometimes. We name somebody, sometimes you name people the opposite. Sometimes you nickname them the same, but his name meant to be scattered, with the idea is God is going to scatter these people. He's going to sow these people, and that's exactly what happened. So did anybody believe this at this time? Oh, no. Because look at, folks, this was the high water mark. Everybody had jobs. Everybody's Social Security was healthy. And we all know how well that's doing in the state of Illinois. I mean, folks, this isn't a joke. You don't know how, you know, I think some of us believe America will last forever. I believe this, probably until the Lord comes, there will be people living in this place. We have some real, we have lots of different issues. And it's only by God's grace that we stay together. So, I say this and you know, so this sun symbolizes the destruction of Israel. C, Hosea plus, and I put it in parentheses. Gomer has a what? Look at the next page. That little word is rather important. If you don't read Hebrew, it's real simple. It's lo. But in Hebrew, it means no or not. So, verse 2. In verse 2, he already told, and this is the hard part, and I don't know how much, you know, I don't have all this figured out. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredom. Now, again, Rhonda, was she already or did she become? And I don't know. But also children of the same. So he kind of knew going into this. How much did he understand? I do not know. But all of this was a sign or a symbol because it says, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So in verse 6, she conceived again and bare a daughter. You notice there's no he there. They're just she got pregnant. And God said unto him, call her name. So he said to Hosea, call her name Loruhamah. Which is just that Hebrew phrase there, friend. Lo is the Hebrew word for no or not, and Ruhamah, well, and he kind of explains it in the text. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, at least at this time, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. In your notes, Loruhamah means something. You can do it the shortened form. No mercy, or not mercied, or I'll give you three. No mercy, not mercied, or not having obtained mercy. Folks, they're having children. One of them, the oldest boy, everybody, by the way, these are Hebrew words. You ever heard the word Puerto Rico? Doesn't that sound nice? Especially if you can say it properly in Spanish. What does it mean, Louis? It means a rich port. How about the guy that's president of Venezuela? His name is Maduro. What's Maduro mean? Do you know? What? Is it that or is it wood? What's the word for wood? You're thinking of something to drink. I can't remember, isn't it? By the way, one thing I learned about Spanish, look at me, Spanish is a language. And some things sound really interesting to us until you realize Hebrew is a language. Hey, look at me. Here's Gomer, here's Hosea going to Jewel to get their food. Oh, what's your son's name? Scattered. What? Oh, what's the next? Oh, no mercy? You name your children that? Do you understand? Every place they went, don't you ask people, if you're a normal human, you ask people their children's names. Yes? What? Scattered? No mercy? Yeah, these become the great sign of what's going to happen. The last one I confess to you is the worst. Hosea. Well, Gomer had a third child, and Hosea was attached to it. Now when she weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Again, there's no he there. Then said God, call his name. Again, you have that word no. And this here, folks, A.M., just means people. That word means people. You guys know the last part of the word. On the cross, Jesus said, Eli, Eli, which means what? So, Ami, and there's a reason why it doubles up the M, means my people. This is a horrible thing. By the way, let's read the whole thing. It even tells you, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. In your notes, Lo-Ami means about what we have already said. Gomer was to name the third son, not my people. Or how about shortened? He's not mine. But I will say this, you're still not hearing this, because these are real people. This isn't religion. They walk down the street, because the whole point was them to be a sign. Oh, what's your firstborn name? Scattered. What? What's your secondborn's name? No mercy. What's the last one? Not mine. What was the point of all of this? To do what? A sign to say bad things are going to happen. By the way, folks, did bad things have to happen in 722? The answer is God always leaves people an out, but do people take it? Actually, I find people that once they dig in deeper and deeper and deep to the place where they look like a retard. Because what do you dug that hole for? Why are you defending that which cannot be defended? Because that's the way we are. But I want you to hear me. Think this. Look at me. Think this. You're going to Jewel, moms, and you got your three kids. And one of your old friends from high school says, beautiful. What's your kid's name? Scattered. No mercy. Not mine. I think the whole purpose was succeeding because it was to do what? To get people's attention of what was going to happen. Let's go on. We will not finish all of this, but let me give you these statements. Lo-Ami. So, folks, when you go down to Springfield on the south side and you see the town, I don't care how they pronounce it, somebody was really, they chose this name because they thought it sounded good. Please don't call your daughter Lo-Ami or your son. I say in your notes, and we'll finish here, just as Israel would eventually become not God's people, or just as Israel would become not God's people, Judah would soon follow. So in 722, I think this is in the 730s. Look at me. The greatest of the two kingdoms. Remember, the Bible gives you a picture. The way you read it's the problem. You read it because the Bible is Judah-focused, because that's where the godly people were and the temple was. So you start getting the impression in your mind that was the big kingdom. No, that was the little one. The big one's in the north, and under Jeroboam, it got big. And during that whole time, here's Hosea taking his three kids out for a walk. Scattered. No mercy. Not my people. That's the story and the history connected. We'll pick up here next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. May you seal these ideas so we begin to understand how to put some prophecy together. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. And Cliffy, thank you for the great...